You are listening to Overcomers Church International Podcast. Here at OCI, we are dedicated to our vision of building strong people and building strong churches. From wherever you are listening, we hope that this message leaves you equipped and encouraged.
What an incredible day to be alive. There's a lot going on in our world, but God's doing more than the devil could ever have dreamed of doing. Incredible things are happening. Revival's happening all over the world. Pay attention a little bit, and you'll see and you'll hear things that God's doing. Before I forget, I just want to say hi to the Bonterre campus. And so this is our second simulcast, and things seem to be going really smoothly. And so we love you in Bonterre. You're just as much of a part of us as Perryville. We love you guys. Yeah. And so we're just thankful for all that God's doing. He's continuing to expand numerically, but spiritually, all those things. And it's so great to be here with you guys and be right in the middle of God's will. That's the best place that you can possibly be. Great things come from being in the middle of God's will. And sometimes that requires saying yes to the Lord even when you don't want to. I had the awesome opportunity. I'll tell you very quickly two things that I experienced in Israel before I tell you 30 more things that I experienced in Israel. One was I got baptized in the Jordan River. So your pastor's finally saved now. You know, you could be thankful for that. But Liz kind of peer pressured me to. Most of the guys weren't going to do it. They're like, we're already baptized. And I'm like, I'm going to because my wife wants me to. And so I did. And they're like, wow, Kent, we see who wears the pants in the family. You know that? And so they didn't say that. And so, but this is a rough start. I better shift gears. Anyway, so a bunch of them ended up getting baptized, and the water was frigid, really, really cold. But it was pretty cool. I didn't do it because I needed to. I did it because Liz wanted me to. Liz thought I needed to get rebaptized. That's what it was. The other experience that I had, and this one was really cool, really special. I had the privilege with our group, with about 20 of us, and we went, of course, to the Garden of Gethsemane was one of the things that we did. And so myself and another pastor got to lead a communion service there in the garden, which was really cool. And so I have this infamous revelation I've shared with you guys a lot, and it's about the word. What's the greatest word in the Bible? Nevertheless. Okay, obviously I need to minister on this more. So nevertheless, you know, Jesus, when he was in the garden, he said to the Father, he's praying, and you know, it's a very intense prayer. It says that sorrow had filled his heart because he knew what he was getting ready to have to do. And he prayed and he said, if it's possible to the Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass before me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know, the Jesus nevertheless is the reason that we're seating here today. And even not just in a spiritual sense, but even in a very practical sense, America was born from people that loved God and had a relationship with God through Jesus. So even in the sense of a great country to be a part of, it happened because of Jesus's nevertheless. What an amazing thing. You know that there are people that are counting on your nevertheless. Even when it's difficult, there's people waiting. And you may not know it, and they may not know it, but they're counting on you saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And sometimes it could just be as simple as talking to somebody about the Lord that the Holy Spirit's prompting you to. It could be a number of things. But you have a nevertheless that's very important. Amen. And speaking of nations, I want to talk to you today about the nation of Israel, and I'll intertwine some of the things I'm sure that I experienced, some revelation that I got while I was there, things that God spoke to me. But I've been studying and reading up on Israel for a few months now just to understand some things better before I went there. And you know, when you go there, the Bible really, you know, comes to life. You've heard people say this before, it's really true, because you start to see things concerning all of the everything's a mountain, even though they're not very tall. It's, you know, Mount Hebron, Mount Zion, Mount whatever this, Mount of Olives, all of these things. And you're starting to see like, oh, that's what he's talking about. And, you know, the blessing of the Lord is upon the nation of Israel and upon the Jewish people. And the Lord, he's the one that started that nation, however many thousands of years ago, 4,000 years ago, whatever it was. God's God's the one that, if I can, and I don't use this word often and I don't use it loosely, he sovereignly started the nation of Israel. And when we're talking about Israel, it's not a political conversation, it's a biblical conversation. And so the idea of having a stance for Israel is the idea of believing what God's word says concerning them. And I realized that after all of my years of pastoring, I haven't done enough to really talk about what it means to support Israel. Today, to talk about I support Israel without giving a biblical backing, it just feels political to people. Because right now it's a huge hot button topic. And to be honest with you, most people are very ignorant concerning what's happening with the Gaza Strip. They don't even know where that is. I didn't know where it was until I finally looked on a map to see where is this place. And what's happening with the Palestinians and with Hamas and then also Israel. Most people, most Christians are extremely ignorant. And so I'm going to do, and I don't mean that in a negative way, just in a factual way. Most people don't really know what's going on there. So my heart is to be able to help enlighten you a little bit on that today. For those of you that missed it, yesterday, Liz and I did a live. We do a live every Saturday morning, and it's on YouTube and on Facebook. And we talk very specifically about Israel. And I went in and talked some things about Hamas, a little bit about terrorism and some of the things that are happening there. So I won't be able to cover a lot today, but I covered some things yesterday. You can go back and listen and hear some of the things that I was able to share. And so to see it firsthand really gives you some perspective. And one of the things that I was able to do that we did as a group, we really had a lot of privilege while we were there because we were with this group called CUFI, which is Christians United for Israel. It's the largest pro-Israel Christian group in the United States. And it's pretty incredible because when we went there and we saw people, or people saw us, and we had our tags on that said CUFI, or Christians United for Israel, everybody knew our group. And it's because this ministry has been in Israel for decades doing things to support the Jewish people, and they're very, very thankful for us. And as a matter of fact, this organization, CUFI, which I'm not here to talk about, but this organization has done a lot of things even in Congress to help do things to support Israel. And all of it is because of an understanding biblically that we are supposed to support Israel. So this gets a little dicey with people sometimes because they hear what's happening right now with the war. And it is true that Israel has gone into Gaza, and they have gone in and bombed and done things. And there are innocent people that are dying because of it. But it comes down to this: when somebody comes and invades your home and they come in and kill innocent people, and because there's children in the room, I'm not really going to say a whole lot more about this, but the most atrocious, demonic things that you could think of one person doing to another, those are the things that Hamas has done to Israel when they invaded them on October 7th. We heard stories from people that had family members that these things happened to. I was able to go into one home. We went into a couple different villages. I saw the destruction with my own eyes, and we went into a couple of different homes, and we saw one home, and we saw firsthand and heard stories firsthand from the people that were involved. Their family members were killed, and it was a sudden attack from Hamas. Hamas is a political terrorist organization. And what happened is that, so I don't remember the exact dates, but the Palestinians basically demanded years ago, they demanded that Israel give them part of their land. And by the way, and we're going to look at this, but Israel is given by God, and nobody else has a right to their land. Israel is occupying the land that God gave them. It's their home. And I make no apologies about it. So they, in order to keep peace, and by the way, you can't have peace with terrorists. But in order to keep peace, they gave over some of their land to the Palestinian authorities. Well, after a period of time, the Palestinians, the people, got tired of the leadership, and they voted them out. Now, I don't know if it was a real, true democratic process or not, but they voted in this political group known as Hamas. Hamas is legally in charge of the Gaza Strip. Hamas and its leaders have been saying for years that they want to kill Israel and wipe Israel off the map. And so now what happens is that when they come in on October 7th and they literally went in and they pillaged and everything that you could say that goes along with that, these people, 22 villages, they hit simultaneously without warning, came in civilians. They didn't come against the Israeli army. They came against civilians. And so what choice did Israel have but to go back and attack? See, World War II, something very interesting happened in World War II. If you remember that, Pearl Harbor was, what was it, December 7th, 41? Is that the right date, 1941? And if you remember the story, that there was the, I think they called it the kamikaze. Was that the thing they used? And the term they used for the mission. And these Japanese pilots came over. Of course, they bombed Pearl Harbor. It was very unexpected. It was off the radar. And they ended up even flying their planes into the ships and those kind of things. And there was a lot, I don't remember how many people, someone remember how many people were killed that day of Americans in Pearl Harbor, 3,000, 4,000. A lot of people were killed. And what happened after that was the president immediately, they went into war mode and they went and dropped two bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And when those bombs were dropped in Japan, there was an estimated 214,000 people that were killed. And so we could look at that and say, how dare they? And that's terrible what happened, by the way. But we also look back and we realize that that ended that. And when it comes to you dealing with your enemies, sometimes you have to strong arm. That's what Israel is having to do. They're having to go in and use their muscle to stop terrorists from literally killing them. At the same time, they have Hamas at the southern border. They have Hezbollah at the northern border. These are highly funded, well-organized terrorist groups that their single goal is to destroy Israel. Hezbollah is funded, they're on the north, and they are funded by Iran. And Iran pumps billions of dollars into Hezbollah. They have now taken over Lebanon, which just sits north of Israel. They have taken over the Lebanese government and military and are at the northern border of Israel, and that is actually a bigger threat. We got briefings from military people, and they told us Hezbollah is a bigger threat right now than Hamas is. And so they have these, and by the way, when we were there, we heard rockets being shot down. They were shooting rockets into Israel. I didn't tell Liz this while we were there, but it's a common thing. These people are peaceful people. By the way, the hand of God is so much on them. Tel Aviv is the most innovative city in the entire world. Not the biggest city, but the most innovative. Why? Because the blessing and the hand of God is on the Jewish people and has been ever since their conception. And you say, why are you saying all of this? Because we have to make a decision whose side that we're on. If for no other sake than prayer's sake, I can't figure all the political and the military stuff out. That is not my job. But as your pastor, part of my job is to help you be enlightened to what the Word of God says concerning these things. God says very plainly, I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. I know that we live in a new covenant. I don't heavy on curse stuff because I believe that we've been removed from the curse of the law and things like that. But God's heart is still for Israel, and we have a responsibility to bless Israel and to stand with Israel, period. So when you see these people on Facebook and on, you know, the news and just these different videos, and you hear different people talking. I met people on the way back on the plane ride. I talked to a lady on one of the plane rides, and she is totally deceived, has no idea what's going on. And I thought, she is one of millions of people in this country that have no idea what's going on. You say, well, why is this so important? First of all, again, because we need to stand and bless Israel. It's a biblical mandate that we have. Also, because of this, because of what's happening in our universities, that they're standing up and saying free Palestine, they don't have a cotton picking clue what they are talking about. They don't even know what they're talking about. The Palestinians need to be freed, but it's not from Israel, it's from Hamas, because Hamas is governing those people, and they're using their own people as human shields in order to try and they're doing it. They're creating propaganda to make it look like that Israel's the bad guy. Israel's not the bad guy. She is defending herself, and we have to stand with Israel. You say, but I think that some things are unjust. War is always unjust. But God told Joshua, he said that be sure that your sin will find you out. You go and look at that in context. How many have heard that before? Be sure your sin will find you out. And it's usually, you know, someone screaming and sweating at the pulpit saying, if you have a secret sin, it's going to find you out. There could be some truth in that. But in context, he was telling Joshua that your sin of not going to war will find you out. There is a time and place to go to war. And when you have one group of people that are blessed by God that don't scream on the platforms and on media that they're going to kill other people, but then you have the opposing force standing up and saying for decades that they're going to kill Israel, you can be pretty certain that Israel is the right side to be on. All they've tried to do is to have peace with people, and there's been no peace because you can't do that with terrorists. All right, so I want to talk about some things about Israel being a sovereign nation. And one of the things that's really I find interesting is that Israel is the only country in the or people group, because it's both, they're both a lineage of people and a people promised land. They're the only ones that have their boundaries outlined in the Bible. No other nation does. Pretty incredible if you think about that. God is pro-Israel. He's pro-Israel. Americans need to be pro-Israel. God's people need to be pro-Israel. Hallelujah. Let me tell you two things what it doesn't mean to be pro-Israel or pro-Jewish, the Jewish people. I'm going to tell you some things about what it means to be. I want to tell you two things what it doesn't mean in terms of being pro-Israel. It does not mean you are supposed to live like a Jew. We are not supposed to be Jewish. Christianity is not supposed to be Judaism 2.0. And I think some clarity is good, that I'm bringing some clarity here, because a lot of people are like, I'm pro-Israel and I'm pro the Jewish people. That's wonderful. You don't need to pray like them. You don't need to go and tell people on the Sabbath, Shabbat Shalom. It's fine if you do. There's nothing wrong with it. But supporting Israel doesn't mean you become like a Jew. Now, you might be Jewish, or you might have some Jewish roots or whatever, and that's fine. That's your business between you and the Lord. But that doesn't make you pro-Israel. That just makes you trying to pretend like you're Jewish and you're acting Jewish. Because I wondered for years, this is why I'm saying this, I wondered for years how we're supposed to be pro-Israel at the same time that we support the gospel. Because the gospel is so clear that we are set free from the works of the law. We're set free from any form of Judaism. We're not supposed to go and put ourselves under the law. And a lot of Christians really don't understand how to appropriate this, and I didn't for a long time either. I'm like, I'm pro-Israel, but I'm not going to do Jewish dances and things like that. Like, that's, I can't do that. I'm not Jewish. And so then I've met people that they're pro-Israel, and they're like, come on, let's Shabbat Shalom, Kent. You know, let's learn some Hebrew. And I'm like, I'm not Hebrew. I'm a red-blooded American. Like, I don't know how this fits. And the thing is that we're supposed to be Christians that support the Jewish people and support the state of Israel. But you don't have to act like a Jew to do that. Now, if you want to, that's your business. But as for me and my house, we're just going to worship and serve the Lord, and we're just going to be American Christians, and I'm okay with that. We love Jesus, and it's fine. As a matter of fact, this is what I heard. There was a Jewish rabbi that had spoken this to one of our leaders of our group when we were there, and he said, it's actually offensive whenever Christians use a prayer shawl and pray, because he said they don't even know what they're doing. And they're trying to be supportive when they do that, but the thing is, just be in your faith, but recognize where your faith came from. The Jews do not need us to explain their existence, but we need them to explain our existence. They gave us our Messiah. But just thank God you have a Messiah and you don't have to go back and live underneath of Jewish law. Is this making sense to anybody in here? It's quiet in here. So being pro-Israel does not mean you're supposed to live like a Jew. Now, we're honoring to them. We actually had the privilege of having a Shabbat dinner with a Jewish family when we were there. And you know what we said when we walked into their house? Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Why? when you're in Israel, do as the Israelis do, right? And you honor people for where they're at. But I'm not going to come back and say that's the connection to God, is to say Shabbat Shalom. You know, my connection to God, it's Jesus. And I'm going to pray that they get a revelation of the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Let me tell you one more thing that being pro-Israel does not mean. It does not mean, this goes along with what I first said, it does not mean you're apologetic about your faith. I've met many Christians that are apologetic towards Jewish people about their faith. There was one rabbi that said that he has a lot of disrespect, or doesn't have a lot of respect for Christians because they don't believe in Jesus as much as they claim that they do. Meaning, he was saying they don't ever talk about Jesus. And the reason is people are afraid to talk about Jesus in the midst of Jewish people. You should never be apologetic about your faith to anybody, ever. But you just be honoring when you're doing it. So let me tell you a couple things. And let me just say this verse, Romans 1 and 16 through 17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Here's how I say it, is that Israel, the Jewish people, are our older brother. America, in terms of a country, America is Israel's bigger brother. But we are not the older brother. Israel is. And it says, "For in it," in what? "The gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. For as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Don't ever be apologetic about your faith. Let me tell you what it means to be pro-Israel. Pro-Israel does mean that you support a sovereign Israeli state. There's a lot of people that they flat out don't. They don't believe this, even Christians, some that just are ignorant and they don't believe this. But Israel was promised a nation and a land, and we should support Israel having their own sovereign state, 100%. Saying you don't want them to have a sovereign state or you don't support that, according to the biblical land promised by God, is ignorance at best. It's anti-Semitism at the worst. You know, I didn't even understand what anti-Semitism really was until I went on this trip. And you know that it is still the most prevalent form of hatred in our world. And if you go back and you look through all of the wars and things that have been fought against the Jewish people, none of it makes any sense. But why do people hate them so much? And there's all of these different excuses as to why, and I could give you a list of different excuses as to why. The Jewish people think that they're better than everyone else, which isn't even really true. I mean, not Americans, but Christians, and probably some American Christians, whatever, say things like, "We're God's chosen people." We say that, don't we? But nobody's coming against us for that, but they do come against the Jewish people for saying that they're God's chosen people. And you can have a whole list of things that people have used excuses for hating the Jewish people. And all of it is anti-Semitism. And all of it is rooted at this fact that they are the ones that were given the oracles of God. They are the ones that were given the law and originally had the relationship with God as far as a race of people, a breed of people, a lineage of people on this earth. So we owe them a great debt of gratitude. So it means that you believe that they should have a sovereign state. Here's another thing, what it means to be pro-Israel, is that you reject all forms of anti-Semitism. And you might think, well, I don't really feel like I have that. Sometime I'll probably minister on what it means to be anti-Semitic, but it's something that's it's very prevalent. And there's always excuses. You know that Hitler did all of the killings, the mass murder? He killed 6 million Jews. And he did it through means of justifying his actions. And the root of it was that he just really just hated Jewish people and he didn't know why. It's because there's a spirit behind it. And today, the Jewish people, there's somewhere between 12 and 15 million of them in the world. I think about 8 million live in Israel. And there should be about 35 million if the Holocaust had not happened. Anti-Semitism is a real thing. And you can see it. And we're going to go through our list a bunch of different enemies of Israel that were all bound in anti-Semitism, but it was amassed as other things. Being pro-Israel also does mean that you reject replacement theology. And you say, what in the world is replacement theology? Replacement theology, simply put, is this, that the church has replaced Israel. And that is not true. That's not accurate. And it's not biblical. The church will never replace Israel. And this could seem right when you realize what the Lord has done for the church. But the church was engrafted in. It did not replace the Jewish people. When God gave the promise of land and lineage to Abraham, it was an eternal promise that he gave them, and the church will never replace Israel. Israel and Jerusalem in particular, is at the center of everything prophetic biblically. In the Old Testament and the New Testament and what's to come, you can read like in the book of Revelation and different things, it always comes back to Jerusalem. The church is a parenthesis. We have not replaced Israel. It's very important to understand that. God's not done dealing with his people, and he's the Jewish people in particular, and he's definitely not done with the land part of Israel, because when the 1,000-year millennial reign comes, Jesus is going to have his kingdom over Jerusalem, and there will be a new Jerusalem, and we will all be part of it. You say, well, what does that look like? I don't think we're going to be doing Jewish dances and things like that. I don't know. Maybe we will. I don't know. Jesus was Jewish. But praise the Lord. You'll finally get me to dance, Liz. But, you know, when that time comes, there'll be no more voting. There'll be no more terrorist attacks. Jesus is going to be in charge, and we're all going to be really, really excited. Being pro-Israel does mean that you stand with her in prayer and in monetary blessing. Romans 15:27, in the last part of this verse, it says, for if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, meaning the Jews, then their duty, meaning the Gentiles, is also to minister to them in material things. And I believe we have a responsibility to bless Israel. This doesn't mean you have to empty out your bank account, but when you have an opportunity to bless them in whatever the way that the Lord would have that, and I'm believing God that he's going to open up my eyes even as a church in ways that we're supposed to do that, then I believe that we need to do it. One verse I meant to read that I failed to read was Romans 11:17. In the last part of this verse, it says, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. In context, he's talking about the Jewish people and what their role is in the earth now that the gospel has come. Paul reminds them that the Jews were there before you. You are not the root. You are an offshoot of the root. Amen. Genesis 12:1-3 says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. This is where it all began. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This was the original start of where God created the nation of Israel, and really was Abraham is the father of the Jewish people. And you know, it also says that Abraham is our father. You know why? Because he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for being righteous. We believe God, and it is accounted unto us for being righteous, just like believing Abraham. The Gentiles were not even counted in the house of God, in the lineage of people that could have a relationship with God. But because of the example of the Jews and producing the Messiah, Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren, and now we are the brethren that are born after Jesus because of what he has done, according to the faith of believing Abraham. Hallelujah. I'm preaching better than you're amening. That was pretty good. Amen. Let me tell you a couple more things. God made an everlasting covenant with Israel, Genesis 13. And it says, and the Lord said to Abram, this is verse 14, Genesis 13:14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants for the next 100 years, forever. Forever. Do you know what forever means in the Hebrew? It means forever. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7, it says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Here's the Lord saying, it's an everlasting covenant, first of all, with your lineage, Abraham, but also with the land that I have called you into. The land that Israel is in right now and more does not belong to any other people group. It belongs to the Jewish people, period. God also is a fulfiller of his promise to Israel. Let's read a couple verses about this. Amos chapter 9, verse 14 through 15, it says, "I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God." You know what this was? This was a promise that was fulfilled in 1948 when Israel became a nation officially, and they were given that land. They fought for that land. God gave them that land. Let me tell you something interesting. It talks about that they will grow things in their garden. We had the privilege of going to this place that manufactured or grew and packaged and sold dates. And there was a time about a little over 100 years ago to where dates were not even found anywhere in Israel. One of the things you have to know about the land of Israel, especially Jerusalem, is there's layers of other empires and things that have taken over, and then Israel won it back. Other things have taken over, and then Israel won it back. So it has all of this history there that it started with Israel, but there's layers of there. Even archaeologically speaking, if I'm saying that right, they've had to dig to find their own ruins. But about 100 years ago, a little bit more, there was no dates there. So this man took it upon himself. I don't remember his name, but I watched a video on it, and I thought it was really interesting. He took it upon himself to go and get dates. And so he snuck into some other countries where Jews were not allowed. And he snuck in by night and just these different things. And he went and he got date spires or whatever it was, limbs, and brought them back and began to plant these date trees. He risked his life for this to happen. And so that was however many years ago. Now Israel is their number one good that they export is dates. And it was a fulfillment of this prophecy right here. Just one little piece. It's an incredible story. Psalm 125 and verse 1 and 2. Let me read this. "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever." And here's the moral of the story here, is that I want to be in alignment with what God says is important. I want to be in alignment with what God says concerning the nation of Israel. He abides with Israel forever. He will protect Israel forever. And I choose to stand on that side with God's people, no matter what it looks like. And I'm not saying that Israel and the military things that they're doing, I'm not saying that they're doing everything right. Who really knows all of the workings, especially in intelligence and things that are going on? We can be backseat quarterbacks pretty quickly and cast judgments when we really don't know all of the details. I know more details than probably most anybody in this room or watching, because I was there and I had briefings from military people, but I still don't know all of the things that are going on there. But I do know this, that I'm going to stand with Israel, because Israel is God's people, and we're called to be in alignment with what God says concerning his people. I want to give you a list of some civilizations to close out here, some civilizations, nations, and empires that tried to destroy the Jewish people. And I believe we have some slides that we're going to pull up for this. And the first one that I'll mention is ancient Egypt. And what happened to them? Gone. Philistines. What happened to them? Gone. The Assyrian Empire. Gone. These are all people that rose up against Israel, all right? The Babylonian Empire. Gone. You guys are very quick. The Persian Empire. Gone. The Greek Empire. The Roman Empire. The Byzantine Empire. The Crusaders. By the way, let me stop right there. The Crusaders were Christians, and their justification for coming against Israel and the Jewish people, get this, is that the Jews killed their God. Last time I checked, Jesus chose to hang on the tree. Yeah, the religious leaders were involved in it, but so were the Romans. How about at least splitting the blame? But it wasn't either one of them to blame. God chose to send Jesus to die on the cross for us. And no wonder that it's taken so long for the Jews to trust Christians. You know what our job was when we went over there? Cufi, the group I went with, by the way, their part of their goal is to get pastors to go. My cost, if I had paid out of pocket for this trip, it was a five-star trip. We had we stayed in the best hotels, ate the best food, had the best tour guide. It would have cost about $8,000. It cost them about $8,000 for me to go. All they asked for me was $800. Pretty incredible. I know. Next empire, the Spanish Empire. Gone. Nazi Germany. Thank God. Gone. The Soviet Union. Gone. Iran. What do you think is going to happen with Iran? They're not gone yet. And what you have is you have a tyrant standing over there saying, when I get nuclear weapons, that I'm going to destroy Israel. That's why it's very important to pay attention to history. And it's even more important to pay attention to biblical history. There is nobody that's going to defeat Israel. I'll finish with this story. I was at a wedding one time and I talked to this, he's kind of a friend of the family, claimed atheist. By the way, I made a reel not long ago. Just, y'all saw that? And it said that atheists don't exist. And I got more hate responses and I thought, thank you, Jesus. Because atheists don't exist. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 that although they deny God and they don't like to retain him in their knowledge, that they are without excuse because God has been manifest in them. So people can claim to be atheists, but they're not really atheists. And so anyways, I was talking to this proclaimed atheist at this wedding, and we were going back and forth. This was before I realized that you can't argue people into their salvation. If they can be argued in, then they can be argued out. And so I laid pretty low after a little while in the conversation, just had conversation. Then I came back to him and I said, explain this to me. I said, how come you have one of the smallest nations in the entire world that has a very small plot of land, should be bigger than what it is, and one day it will be. And you've had people for thousands of years that have tried to destroy them, and they just can't seem to do it. And he said, now that's something to think about. And when you think about the fact that Israel, it is small. They are a small group of people, and they should have more people, and they should have more land, but because the people have come against them, they've suffered tremendously, tremendously. And I could tell you so many stories. There's a spirit of Isaac on the Jewish people. And Isaac, remember, Abraham dug wells, and then the Philistines came in, and they filled those wells, and Isaac said, I'm going to undig the wells that my enemies have covered. And we stood in villages. And one guy in particular, he was the farmer of the village. And a lot of these, they call them kibbutz. There's some Hebrew for you. And they operate they're very communal. And so this one guy, he was the main farmer. And I'm finishing with this story, I promise. He was the main farmer. And during the October 7th attack, Hamas came in. By the way, the Palestinians got their name as ripping it off from the Philistines, arguably Israel's number one enemy listed in the Bible. It's a take from, you can kind of hear it, Philistine, Palestine. That's where they got that from. They even named themselves as an enemy of Israel. Not very smart. They're going to lose. But after all this stuff happened and we go in and we're in this one village and we're talking to this guy who was the head farmer there. And we're standing, and I should have pulled up a picture. We're standing right on the border. There's actually like two border fences, and we were on obviously on the Israel side of the Israel fence. And then there's a large plot of land, and you have the Gaza fence and then the Gaza territory. And we're standing there, I mean, from here to the wall, away from the fence, and he's telling us about how that they when they came in, they, as a matter of fact, here's what happened as well. Let me throw this bit in there. This is important for you to know this. What they did is that they came in, and the Israelis that are living on the Gaza border, part of the reason that they want to live there is to have try and have peace with people that are living in Gaza. They told us that. That's why they live there. There's safer places to live in Israel, but they want to have peace. So much so that they had invited some of these Palestinians into their homes and into their lives. When Hamas attacked them on October 7th, they knew what houses to go to. They knew their schedule. They knew their who had guns. They knew who had dogs. They knew everything about them. And when they came back, because they were pretending to be friends, but secretly they were having intelligence. And when they came back, they killed them. Some of the people said this: what was worse than the murders was when they came back and they pillaged and stole things from us. They said that hurt just as much as them actually killing our family. Really incredible. So this man, going back to this man, who was the head farmer, they came in and they stole 9 tractors from him. And he said this, and this will stick in my memory forever. He said, we decided that we were going to go out and buy more tractors, but we weren't going to buy used tractors. We bought new tractors because we're not going anywhere. This is our land, and God's called us to farm it. And I thought, Jesus, let that same spirit be in me. Let that same mentality be in me. Hallelujah.
If God is changing your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. If you would like to give or would like more information on how we are making a difference, visit overcomerschurchinternational.com.